Good morning and welcome to you here at Kings Norton Baptist Church. If you're not with us in the chapel this morning, then welcome to you as you join through the webpage. We're coming before God's word, so let us bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son into this world. Thank you that he is the Word made flesh. And just as he is Lord, we pray that you might help us to submit to the Lordship of your word, the authority, that we might sit under it and obey it and revere it. So help us in these things, we pray. Amen. Well, imagine it was you who boarded the United Airlines Flight 93. It's the 842 flight from Newark, New Jersey, on the East Coast, heading for San Francisco, California. It would be a short flight. In just over an hour, you will be dead. How was that? Hijackers, you remember, perhaps. Hijackers took control of the plane. The Boeing 757, loaded with more than 11,000 gallons of jet fuel, was now heading in a different and unknown direction. The passengers sensed something was wrong and attempted to storm the cockpit, but it was too late. The aircraft, travelling at 580 miles an hour, ploughed into an empty field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And of course, the date is the 11th of September 2001. Everybody died. The hijackers brought disaster on themselves and everyone on the plane. They took control, changed direction, and ended up crash landing the plane. Well, that's a very dramatic example, I know, but something similar can happen in any walk of life. One man I was speaking to told me that when a different pastor came to the church he was at, this pastor effectively drove the church off the edge of a cliff. Well, that's the sort of thing we're looking at this morning, or at least a threat of it. Timothy is leading the church. He has his hands on the wheel, but others are trying to pull him off course. John MacArthur reminds us that truth is always under assault, and it is actually a sin not to fight it when the vital signs of truth are under attack. I'll just say that John MacArthur a bit again. John MacArthur reminds us that truth is always under assault, and it is actually a sin not to fight when vital truths are under attack. So Paul shouts to Timothy, stand firm, don't let go, don't give in, preach God's word, make sure you do, and keep your head. It's going to be tough. Don't give in to those who are trying to pull you off course. So we read in the passage earlier in 2 Timothy 4, 1-5. So this morning we are looking at this in two main sections: the problem with its inevitable consequences and the solution and where that leads, the consequences there. So first, the problem. You are here in church this morning. Why have you come? What do you expect? And what do you expect from the sermon? Go on, be honest. Something interesting to listen to? Maybe something to help me with the problems I'm facing? Maybe nothing. Maybe for you it's not an important part of your reason to be here. But preaching is important. Preaching truth and preaching God's word is important. In the church Timothy was in, there were those who did not like that. Those who were told, will not put up with sound doctrine. You know, it's not my way. And what's behind that statement? Well, there's a hardness. And last week, if you remember, when we heard about those hard-hearted religious Pharisees who saw what they wanted to see, now today we have people who hear what they want to hear. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. There will always be those, a great number, so it says, who will say just what you want to hear. If this church won't do it for me, you know, won't christen my children or baptize me, then there will be plenty of others who will. And people with this attitude are usually very difficult to reason with. They're not interested in what God says, but only to have what they want. In effect, they're saying, I don't want to listen to the truth. My opinion is more important. In other words, I will not put up with sound doctrine. We instead, they gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I'm sure you use Google. It's an excellent search engine, and I can remember what there was before. Yes, Google is really good. It's excellent. And I'm grateful to God that I can just find what I want so quickly. It's a real asset. But do you know why or how Google works so well? It's because it knows you very well, so it can find just what you want. Yes, the results are just what you want to see. What you don't want to see is kept back. That would make you feel uncomfortable. So the results are confirmatory. It's information that confirms what you already believe to be true. Bursts of pleasure triggered in your brain, giving you a good feeling. The results you find become an echo chamber of your own views, and they are reinforced by like-minded people. So don't worry, your presuppositions won't be challenged. It would be just right for these people we're thinking about this morning. They turn their ears away, close their ears to the truth, and turn aside to myths. So what are those myths? What are those false teachings that the people so wanted to hear? Well, we're not told. Not at this passage anyway. And they will vary from age to age and place to place where we find ourselves. There are, however, three main prompts. Those teachings that fall in line with what I want. Those teachings that come from the world around. And because the teachings of the world are opposed to God, and because my heart is opposed to God, both end up being united in purpose. And then thirdly, those teachings prompted by the devil, who loves to destroy all that is important to God. For example, God's name is not honoured as it should be, but used as a swear word like never before. Attacked is the person of Jesus Christ, as truly God come in the flesh and the only way of salvation. So too, the sanctity of life, sexual morality, the sanctity of marriage, the image-bearing nature of a man and a woman, the respect for property, respect for persons, the respect for authority, honesty and integrity, they're all under attack. And the easiest way for this to be is to put you in the centre, not the one holy true God, but you. So all three, this unholy trinity, work together against God. So more and more the preaching becomes a message of how to help me. Positive, upbeat, helping me with my problems. It's all about how I can have the victory over fears or debt or depression or anxiety and a host of other psychological needs. Did you know that many of the well-known Christians of the past had what we would identify as mental health illnesses? Yet they kept their eyes on the Lord, loved his word, were busy in his work, and through the means of grace honoured him, and God honoured them. Christ didn't call you to think about you, but to serve him, and in that enjoy him. Remember the first catechism? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's me that's the problem. I won't enjoy God or serve him if I'm thinking of me. It's me that's in the way. So the purpose of God calling you to himself is not to fix everything that is wrong in your life, it'll take a long time, but to show his power and grace through it. His grace is sufficient. It is. Try him. So the bottom line is that God is the centre, not me. And man hates God to be God. I was reading a BMS magazine, it's called the Catalyst magazine. Fortunately, it has a number of articles there written by Christians, many of them, which really say things quite opposed to biblical truth. In fact, there's one article written by Reverend Marge, and it says, God is not sovereign. Read through the article, no references to scripture. It's all to do with how she sees the world. Here we have a reverend who's signed up to say the word of God is the authority, but obviously it's not. And in fact, if the word of God was authority, she wouldn't be a minister there. It's a very revealing example of how people approach the word of God. No doctrine in the whole word of God has more excited the hatred of mankind than the truth of the sovereignty of God. C.H. Spurgeon. So Timothy is faced with people who say, tone it down. Timothy, stop teaching about a way of life of sorrowfulness for sin, about forsaking all for Christ, about a life of service, about my duty to reach the lost with the gospel, about hell for the unrepentant, about Christ's return and the judgment to come. No, these people go home and they go online and they listen to teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. It's the contemporary, easy message. Rather than confront the world around them with all its evil practices, the message follows the world with its lack of truth, its harmful ideologies. You know, toleration, equality, diversity, etc., etc. The result is the church doesn't think biblically, so it becomes weak and soft and silent when it should be strong and vocal, proclaiming the truth, standing for what is good and right. So there's the problem. And the consequences? Where does that take us? What does that mean for the Christian? Well, to let false teaching prevail is to give over control and crash the plane. To follow error does me great harm, and it makes me miserable. I'll explain. When we have our Crusader Sunday School, we pick up children, many from very poor backgrounds, and they often come with clothes that don't fit. In fact, sometimes you have young girls that hobble in wearing mum's shoes. God made us, and he made us for truth. So God is the great tailor. To live by God's truth is to have clothes designed to fit, and to fit well. Otherwise, it distorts or hurts. So in believing something which is untrue, I feel uncomfortable, even if I can't quite work out why. So wearing clothes that are too tight will eventually cause harm. So does living at odds with what God has said or being disobedient to it. And I would say that dissonance not only makes for a miserable state for Christians, but causes such a jarring that the person is likely to become mentally unhinged. And I think that's what's behind so much of what's happening at the moment. So on a personal level, to believe something which is not true doesn't fit how God made us to be. What does it mean for the church? Well, shortcuts are very attractive, but they end up sending you in the wrong direction. Don't I know it? If I looked at the map, I would have been fine. So the Bible is like a map, and if we follow it carefully, all is well. Marcion was a second century heretic who caused great harm. And what he did was to tear out large parts of the Bible, all the bits he didn't like. Imagine if we had his Bible. It'd be like going on a long journey with a map so altered we were bound to end up in the wrong place and totally lost. Well, our society around us is determined not to live according to the Bible. We can see that. And the consequences are obvious. But when we, the church, which has the Bible, chooses to remove or change the bits we don't like, we too end up lost, like the world. The church in the UK is soft and silent. It has become indistinct from the society around and in which God has called us to live. When the public prophetic voice against all evil disappears, we end up in trouble. So it was in Nazi Germany. The church then continued to worship and sing songs, but were not willing to speak about the evil that was so increasingly obvious around them. And as you probably know, many churches have got together during the COVID lockdown. And what do? They put together a cheerful song. The church's prophetic voice has gone, and we sing songs. If individual Christians are no longer holy and separate and distinct from the world around, the church loses its identity in the nation. And what's that mean for God's honour? Well, above all, God is dishonoured. God will protect his honour, and if I'm in the way of that, like salt that loses its saltiness, I will be thrown away, removed. So there was a serious consequence in Jeremiah's day when he preached and no one listened. God judged his people and removed them. Jeremiah preached a message that was the opposite of what people wanted to hear, and they chose what pleased them rather than what pleased God. They listened to false teachers The visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. The oracles you gave were false and misleading, and judgment came. So the solution to all of this, the solution is to stand firm in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So Paul says to Timothy. That is the answer. And I hope you came this morning ready to hear the preaching of God's word. And there are different types of preaching. I do mainly expository preaching, expanding the passage. We've had series of doctrinal preaching. And all preaching should be practical preaching, as well as evangelistic preaching. And Timothy, who is no evangelist, is told to do the work of an evangelist. And there's a message for you and I. If you say to yourself, well, it's not my calling, it's not for me, then we may not be evangelists, but we still do the work of an evangelist. There is topical preaching, devotional and apologetical preaching. But what I should be doing more of is polemical preaching. That is the refutation of false doctrine within the church, including deviant forms of Christianity. And Titus explains my responsibility as an elder. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, and they must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach. So compromise teaching silently causes confusion and damage. It's a bit like the youths that are out at night on the way back from the pub and they turn the road signs around in the middle of the night, and you come in the morning and he's sent off in the wrong direction. So please never underestimate the importance of faithful biblical preaching in the church. Jesus said, didn't he? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Well, I was encouraged by the words of one pastor who said, I have no interest whatsoever in compromising the word of God or dumbing it down for an ignorant and disobedient generation that is offended at strong biblical preaching. John Calvin said, the preaching of the gospel is all about Christ and his glory and not ourselves. And so we aim to make disciples of Christ and to form Christ in the hearts and lives of those who hear the gospel. So preaching is here to make Christians think biblically and therefore act biblically. And Timothy, as I say, is like the prophet Jeremiah. Both are charged with an unpopular message. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, for again and again he brought a message that people didn't want to hear. He preached in the temple, he preached in the palace, he preached at the city gate. He even wore a yoke around his neck to make the point of the people's slavery to sin. And what did he receive for his faithfulness? They hated him for it. He ended up being confined in prison, in the courtyard, in a dungeon, and then down a well. You see, Timothy was like Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, when he was opposed by the prophets who were saying the opposite, thought, Lord, are you sure about this? Is this right? And so Paul knows the same will happen to Timothy. And that's why he says, verse 5, but you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. In other words, Timothy, don't you be knocked off course. And that's something you could be praying for me as well as your pastor. But you, keep your head in all situations. In other words, whatever is happening, keep your head. Don't change your thinking. Don't change your mind. Don't compromise God's word looking for some middle ground out of fear so as to appease those who are up against you. Endure the hardship that will surely come. Stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord. George Whitefield said, it is the duty of pastors to preach the whole counsel of God and not to compromise the truth before the great and powerful men of the world. And this especially in preaching God's judgment on the wicked and unbelieving. For in order for sinners to be saved by Christ and for the country's morals to be preserved, Sinners need to know that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. There is the truth. Salvation is about Christ's work on the cross to rescue the guilty sinner, as you and I are. Rescued from the just condemnation to hell for all the hard in heart. Is that you? Are you refusing to turn? Remember those words? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? Will God's word break into your heart? Break up your hard heart? Will it penetrate and break through? Well, let's conclude. Where does that take us? What does it mean to the person? To know the truth, to live the truth, equals good health. For truth fits like good clothing. It gives us the good mental and spiritual health that God intends. Augustine Maloratus said, Scripture is the life and light of the church, and the church is the guardian of Scripture. When the church is strong, Scripture shines forth the glory of Jesus Christ the Saviour through the faithful preaching and teaching. But when the church is sick, Scripture is imprisoned by ignorance, unbelief, and false doctrine. And thus Scripture and the church exhibit together the appearance of health or of sickness, so that the treatment of Scripture in preaching and teaching corresponds with the state of the church. So beware of those who might come in and crash the plane. Or don't you either go out and fill your minds with easily listening, the kind of spiritual equivalent of smooth radio, ungodly listening that will steal away your love for Christ. What does it mean to us all as a church? We as a church mustn't ignore the map, soil the map, or lose the map. It's a sure sign that you are, or we are, Christians, is that you and I stand for the truth, defend the truth as revealed in God's word. In this we are revived and others are saved. J.C. Ryle said, there can be no true revival in the church apart from the faithful preaching of the gospel in the church. So may we be a strong church because we love and faithfully follow God's word, so that in all this God is honoured and glorified. Amen.